about Florida law. Ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney. All about Florida law with attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Hey, it's open for you if you have a legal question or a legal problem, or maybe just a problem. It doesn't, if you have something you need to talk about, you're under some stress and like to maybe get a slightly different opinion or an answer or some direction, hey, give me a call. It's 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Law office is open. Your question can be about wills, trust, probate, personal injury, real estate, family law. Can be just about any area of the law. You got a next door neighbor problem. Lots of people have those, actually. And but if you have some situation you're involved in where you would like to talk to somebody about it, what to do, doesn't absolutely have to be a strictly 100% legal question, just a problem. Be glad to help you. A lot of our questions do revolve around estate planning. And, of course, that's my primary practice area. We have a fairly large firm. We have 7 attorneys and 25 employees and 20 offices around the state. And our attorneys do various areas of practice. Plus, I've done the show for 34 years and have had many guests in other practice areas. So at least I know I can give you some direction in your question if you have a problem. And you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877. Phone lines are open right now at 877-943-9673. We're broadcasting today from Jacksonville, Florida, in the studios of WBOB 600 AM, The Answer. And if you have a question at all, be more than glad to help you in Jacksonville. But you're also listening in stations all around Florida. Our flagship station is 570-910 WTBN, and that's in Tampa, along with 930, radio station 930 also. And 860. Also in Central Florida, we have 90.3 FM. Also have a community FM station in Sun City Center that carries the program. And we also have station broadcasting in Crystal River. And if you have a question, no matter where you are listening, give us a call, 877-943-9673. Had a yesterday met clients in Jacksonville for a good part of the day. My schedule involves going to offices in Pinellas, in Hillsboro, in Polk, and the Jacksonville area, up and down the Jacksonville, all from Jacksonville to Palm Coast and so forth. Our office doesn't charge for first appointments to discuss your estate plan, for example. It's one of the areas we don't charge for a free consult. And also, we do the radio show where we don't charge, of course, to answer your legal questions. One of the calls I got yesterday concerned a piece of real estate that had been in a deceased person's name for a pretty long time. Family lived there and just hadn't gotten out of the deceased person's name, but now they want to sell it. So what has to happen? Well, hey, that would have to go through a probate to be able to have the legal authority to sell the property. All right, we have our first caller, so let's go to Anonymous. I guess that's what it is. Anonymous from Poinciana, I think. Hello.
Yes, hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, Mike. My question is, I was married to a man for 10 years, and he got his green card through me, and he never worked in this country until when I moved to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I retired, and because I retired, I started to get my Social Security, and he started to get Social Security off my Social Security because he didn't work until he reached here. Although he was 60-something or 70, and now that we are divorced, and he's still getting off my Social Security. Is there anything I can do about that?
No, I don't think so. It's not costing you anything, though.
No.
Yeah, so it's no negative impact on you. But Social Security has rules that they follow, and if he's entitled to it because he was married to you, then he's going to continue to get that. And, you know, if there's anyone listening to the show, I don't really practice in Social Security. I usually tell people to call the Social Security office and discuss it with them as to exactly what you're entitled to and what the ramifications were of the divorce. And you could tell them you prefer that he not get any payments, but they have a system set up, so they're going to not make any exceptions to the system.
Oh, okay.
So I'm pretty much sure what's going on is going to continue going on.
Because what I say, when it's time for him to get his, I want to know, will he be getting his and also getting off mine?
Well, he didn't work here in the country, so he didn't benefit, he didn't contribute to the system at all, right?
Yeah, he's working now, but at the time he wasn't fully invested in.
I believe because you were married for over 10 years, if you died, if you were making more Social Security than he was per month, he would get a bump up just simply because you were married for over 10 years. I believe that's the rule in Social Security.
Okay.
But it's not going to cost you anything. It's not going to make you have any less along the way.
Okay.
All right?
Oh, so he get a free ride both ways. Okay.
Well, it's possible he might get some, yeah. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Phone lines are open. If you have a legal question, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Let's go to Dave in St. Augustine. Dave in St. Augustine, are you there? All right, Dave in St. Augustine, you can call back. If you got dropped off there, I'd be glad to talk to you. Let's go to Tom in Davenport. Tom and Davenport's gone too? All right, so if you have a legal question, give us a call. Phone lines are open now. We have a mic. Is Mike there? I don't know if we're having audio problems in the Tampa studio feeding calls or not. Mike, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Yeah, Mike.
Hello.
What can we do for you?
Hi. I have a question about tenancy by the entireties.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So where are you calling from, Mike?
Clearwater.
Clearwater, okay.
Okay. I have creditors. My wife does not. We've owned our home for 20 years. My question is, can I move it into a living trust, the house? And if I do that, does it lose the tenancy by the entirety's characteristics and protection? And does it also lose the homestead protection?
The answer, now, if I were doing your trust for you, I would do a quick claim deed of your property into your trust. We would advise you at that point not to record the deed. So as far as the homestead protection goes, that's the same. And as far as the tenants by the entirety protection goes with jointly held property between husband and wife would also stay the same. And the deed would reflect that you reserve a life estate in the property. So the deed would be prepared in our office the way to protect all of the things you have now with no negative impact.
Right, because if the only vulnerability I have or the house has is if my wife predeceases me during the life of the judgment.
Well, no, the homestead. Listen, the homestead's a protected asset regardless.
Okay.
You have total in Florida's when this pertains to Florida law. I'm a Florida attorney, and licensed in Florida, of course. People are listening in other states, but in Florida, you have a very unique homestead law, and your real estate is totally protected from creditors.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
All right. Let's go to Michael in Pinellas County. Hey, Michael.
Hi. How you doing, Joe?
Good.
Well, my question, and I'll try not to overcomplicate it, but I recently bought a piece of land that's 10 acres in a relatively square block. And to get to this, I think I just have to say that we'll talk about my 10-acre square block and the 10-acre square block next to me. And both of those sit on a section line, and the neighbor that is south of me sits on a half section line, and the property that I have has never had a road to it. And my understanding is that, and by deed it says that there's a 15-foot access right away across section lines, half section lines, and quarter section lines. And my neighbor disputes that, and I'm wondering, and they have a lawyer. There's every block of the section, every section in all those lines has this 15-foot setback. So there's obviously another block adjacent to us, which totals to a 30-foot access way. The neighbor south of me disputes that any of that is in existence any longer because those lines that have never been vacated have existed since 1917. And then the other block next to us where the other 15 feet would be questions whether or not I can make a road there or only the county can make a road there. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Do you have an attorney at all helping you with this? I mean, it's a very complicated thing to ask in a short two-minute radio type of question.
Right.
You have no access to your property at all?
I have no access at all.
Well, I don't think you can be totally locked out of your property, and I think there is a way for to get an easement to enter your property somewhere, you know, around your 10 acres. Exactly where it is on a section line or not depends. Is there any beaten path down road that you've used to access to gain an entrance to your property at all? Is there a normal route to your property? It's just not a formal road or anything?
Right. In the past, the neighbor to the south of us allowed the people to go through a road on their property. There's actually a gate between the properties at that intersection, and they don't want to do that anymore. And
yeah,
it hasn't been used for many years, probably 5, 6, 7 years. It hasn't been used at all.
You're going to need an attorney to file a petition to establish an easement for entrance into your property. Exactly where that would be, I don't think I could tell you on this, you know, on this format.
Yeah, and I guess my real question is the platted access right away, which is, by the way, on all three of the concerned pieces of property, that's shown on their surveys. My survey, the neighbor south of me, and the other block next to us, which is actually a subdivision, all show the exact same right-of-ways on surveys.
Well, I think you can just get an attorney to enforce that easement right, particularly if you're being blocked from using it. You just need an attorney to enforce your easement right to the property.
Right.
For
okay.
The plat.
Yeah. My issue for me, what happened was I went out there to go mow the property and couldn't get on it. And the lawyer said, very simply, said, just send them a letter, tell them they have 30 days to take that fence down.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't, go take it down yourself. And I'm just kind of a little bit nervous about that process.
Yeah. Well, you know, you have an attorney that's probably giving you really good advice. So do that, see what happens. And if it doesn't work for you, just go back to the attorney and they'll take the next step for you.
Okay, great.
All right.
Thanks, appreciate it.
Thank you. You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. And if you have a legal question at all, give us a call. And I'd be more than glad to We had somebody beyond Nick on the color board. They're gone? Okay. The phone lines are open. You have a toll-free number at 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. We're here to help as many people as we possibly can. And all you have to do is to dial the number. Your question, by the way, helps a lot of other people. I have had two clients in Jacksonville yesterday that came in and told me. One of them, I think, maybe had called the show and gotten their poster sheet. I'm not sure about the other one. But I know from talking to lots of people, lots of people listen to the show, never really call, listen to other people's questions and learn about things that they should do or shouldn't do, or the consequences of what they've already done. All right, so we do have Nick on hold here. Okay, let's go to Nick. Nick, are you there? All right, so Nick's not there. So I got a message on my caller screen board here that Nick was on hold in there. But, hey, Nick, if you're still listening, call back. I'm sorry for the confusion. We'll be glad to get you on. Anyone listening, that's a legal question. You have a toll-free number. It is 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. A question. Is Nick back on now? Nick, are you there? All right, we're having trouble getting Nick on the air here. If you, a lot of times the questions come into about, you know, what must be the value of my estate before I would be wise to create a trust? A lot of people have heard they have to have lots of money to create a trust, and they have to have millions of dollars. They have to have, they're told, oh, you don't have that much, just do a will. I was reviewed a couple of documents yesterday, that very same pattern of discussion came up. My attorney told me, I don't really need a trust. I don't have that much. You don't have a taxable estate. You don't need a trust. That's false, really. It's false because the minimum fees, I think it's false, because minimum fees on probate, you could call a few attorneys and ask them what they charge for probate, and you'll get all kind of different answers. In our office, we have a minimum fee of $2,500. There's a statutory recommended fee of 3%. Attorneys can charge more than that or less than that. It's a discussion you have with your attorney to develop what the probate fee would be. And the statutory recommended percentage on probate is 3%. Now, in some cases, we don't usually charge more than that unless it's extremely complicated. In some cases, we charge less. Just depends on the circumstances. And there are different options in estate planning depending on the type of assets in the estate. There's a without, you can do a procedure without an attorney if you're less than $6,000 and the amount of money in the account would cover the funeral bill. There's a procedure you can do that yourself, but that's under $6,000. From $6,000 to $75,000, there's a procedure dealing with called summary administration, a little bit simpler proceeding. There have to be no creditors involved, though, to be able to follow that proceeding. And then there's formal probate on anything over $75,000. We'll maybe come back to a discussion on probate here after we go to our callers here. Let's go to Brian in Bradenton. Hey, Brian.
Hi, Joe. Is this Joe?
Yes.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. My fiance's mother recently passed away a few months back, and there's three siblings. And, you know, she did the will to split up the estate between the three siblings, but made the brother the executor of the will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he's in charge of everything. My question is, if she were to pass, now in the will it says if one of them passes, it goes to the other two. They split up the other two siblings. But if my fiance were to pass, she has children. Would her share go to her children, or does that somehow have to be rewritten?
Okay, well, here's the deal. Since your fiancé was living at the time of your mother's death,
right,
her share would vest with her, and would be controlled by her will or trust.
Okay, so it wouldn't go to the other two siblings then. It would go to her children, if that's
It would go to her estate, yes, because she was living when mother died, so everything kind of freezes at the time of the death of the person what's in the will. So if the will says equally among my three siblings, if one of them die goes to the other two, it's already vested that your fiance shares, her one-third share is vested, is hers. And if she would die before receiving it, then her share would be controlled by whatever her will or trust would say.
Okay, well, that's great. So that's, she was worried about that. So
yeah.
I guess we're safe with that then.
And does her will leave it to you or to her family?
To her family.
Yeah. Yeah, that would control.
It
would go to her family.
Right. Yeah, okay, good. Well, thank you, Joe. Appreciate the help.
All right, thanks for calling.
Thanks, that'll ease your mind. Bye.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney all about Florida law. And if you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. One of the questions that come up, just based on that last question sometimes, is, well, I'm married, and I'm receiving an inheritance, and I want to control that inheritance stays in my family. Let's say it's a second marriage. I want this inheritance to go to the children that I had, and there are no children of the current marriage, it's the second marriage, but I did have children from the first marriage, and now I've received an inheritance, and I want to make sure that my children from my first marriage receive this inheritance if I should die, and my spouse would not be able to, I don't want my spouse to receive this inheritance. I want this inheritance to be kept down the bloodline, the family line. What can I do? Well, yeah, there's two little angles to this question. One is, if you are married in a second marriage and receive an inheritance and then get divorced, the inheritance is not a marital asset. So that means that you can walk out of the marriage. Not that I would ever encourage you to walk out of your marriage. I always like to counsel people to try to save their marriage, but just trying to look at the legal angle of this. If you walked out of your marriage with a divorce and had kept your inheritance separate, your spouse is not entitled to any of that. It's not a marital asset. However, if you die without a pre- or post-marital agreement, if you die with that inheritance in your name, your spouse has an elective share or statutory right to part of that. So you have to be careful to if you really wish to keep an inheritance separate and down the bloodline and not to a spouse, there is some probably have to do a post-marital agreement to get the spouse to waive the right to it. All right, let's go to Monique in Bradenton. Good morning, Monique.
Good morning.
What can we do for you today?
Well, my son had gotten a job. He's 19. He had gotten a job at a grocery store. And he worked there for several weeks, and then he got a note saying he did not do his drug urine test, which he had. And so they came and escorted him out of the store in the middle of his shift and told him that he could not come back because he did not comply with the drug test. And he was out of work for over 3 weeks, and we called HR, and we finally got a letter from the place where he had the drug test saying, yes, he had, and it was okay, and they rehired him. Is there any recompense for him for those 3 weeks that he was out of work, when he was out of work through no fault of his own?
Okay, so he had taken the drug test timely, and the drug people had not submitted it to the grocery store.
They said they had submitted to the HR at the grocery store. The grocery store HR said no, they had not gotten it. You know, it's the back and forth thing. And so my son finally got a letter from, you know, from the drug company, and then the HR people said, oh, yeah, we had that, and so they rehired him. But he was out of work for 3 weeks because of that.
So how much money how much money do you think he lost during this process?
Well, he's making $11 an hour, and he's working over 40 hours. It was a new store they just opened up, and so they were, you know, crazy busy, and so he was working over 40 hours a week. Now, all the paperwork that he signed, like when he first got hired, he never got a copy of that. That's the only problem. I don't know if anything hinges on that. He was never given a copy of it. they had just, like I said, they just opened the store and things were crazy, and he went in for an interview, and they went ahead and trained him that afternoon, and he started work the next day.
Here's the deal. If he wants to keep his job, I mean, you don't have an employment contract. So now you go in and shake the bushes a little bit and make a big scene and file a case in small claims court. You, for some reason, maybe not that reason, and probably not that reason, you're not gonna keep your job. You know, for less than a year, you'll be out for some other reason, most likely. That's just the way it works, I think. So this is not technically a legal answer. This is more of a common sense, practical answer.
Mm-hmm.
If I were him, I would request a manager with the. I would request a meeting with a manager, and say, "Look, you know, I needed this job, and I had this job, and I was let go for an invalid reason. Is there any way the company can compensate me? And just be nice about it for my missed time that wasn't due to my fault, that was really due to your fault. I mean, I'm not blaming you. I'm not trying to cause trouble. And just be as nice as you can." And see if they can make some exception for him, possibly to pay him for lost time that wasn't his fault. So then you leave that meeting, hopefully with respect, and you have a nice relationship answer type of thing. And then the answer comes back, no. So then the question is, well, do I really want to pursue this? And I want to go to small claims court because you probably wouldn't want to hire an attorney for a $1,500 claim because the attorney's fee would probably be more than that. So then you have a decision to make of whether you want to pursue it and go after the money because you were greatly wronged and you want to have your day in court to prove it. But the outcome, I can tell you most likely, would be within a year you wouldn't have a job at all. I mean, they'd find some other reason to let you go. It would anger somebody in the system
to put
a target on your back. Can you understand that? So,
right.
I don't know. I would go have a nice conversation with the manager and ask him if he can be compensated for something that wasn't his fault. And, you know, be nice about it. You have all the due respect to the person that's probably the person you're talking to wasn't the cause of the problem necessarily. And see if they'll compensate him. But other than that, my advice would probably be just move on, do the best job you can, and if he wants to stay in that job, you know, and move up to just grind it out and move up.
Okay, now if he decided to go to court, what are the chances of him getting that money back? And would he even get pain and suffering for those 3 weeks? I mean, he didn't look for another job because he thought, I was fired from this job. What am I going to do if I look for a job? I need to say I was fired. Like, you know, he wasn't sure what to do, but he just continued to pursue, you know, getting that documentation to show that, you know, he should take the test.
You know, I could refer you to an employment attorney. And maybe that should be your next discussion with somebody who really deals with employment law and could put a value or probability of success on the case and what would it be worth and what you would try for.
I'm sure he'd be blackballed at that business, that, you know, that franchise probably, you know what I'm saying? So that's something he'd have to kind of weigh, I think.
Yeah. All that comes into play. And, you know, and what's right doesn't work out. Well, you know, he has a right to do this and that, and he exercises his rights to do that. That's not always respected at the place he was terminated from.
Sure.
But, you know, it's up to him. You just kind of weigh the options and go for it. But if you want to contact me, I'll find you an employment attorney to talk to that can probably give you a better probability of success type of answer.
Okay. Just call your office then during the week.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippa, and the phone lines are open. And if you have a legal question of any type, you can call our number. Our radio station number is 877 this morning, 943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Let's go to Mike in Jacksonville. Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir.
What can we do for you, sir?
Hey, I have the phone's breaking up real bad. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, what I have is I'm trying to rezone a piece of property in Jacksonville, Florida, and the zoning department. For the last 3 weeks, I have called and called and called, and I can't get anybody to respond. Do they have a duty to answer us back or a way I can get through to them to talk to somebody in zoning in Jacksonville, Florida? What are their rights?
Well, they do, but I don't know how you have any recourse against them when they don't return your call, because they're going to say they didn't have a log of your call or something. I mean, you might be able to prove that, but that would be a big hassle. Why don't you just go by there? Go by there, walk in physically, and make an appointment to see somebody.
Okay, I've been up there. They've got security up at the thing, and I didn't go past it once I got to the security. So maybe I can get through, talk to somebody at the front desk, and see if I can get, at least I would be logged in. But it's unbelievable. It's a pretty serious scenario with this piece of property I have, and nobody, especially Rex Rutford. I mean, for the last I started out with the head guy, and then I just went to the receptionist. But there's no receptionist. It just says, leave a message. It only say this is the code, zoning. It just says, leave a message. That's it.
Well the other answer. All right, the other answer is, if you've done everything you can possibly do and you're not getting a good result yourself, just hire an attorney to write a letter for you.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right.
You have a question, something I can help you with. We're more than halfway through the show right now, but I'd be glad to help you if I can. All you have to do is to call 877-943-9673. I was in an office. It's strange how you can talk to someone and get a totally new idea about something, and it's a lot simpler than, you know, I'll give you just a simple, crazy example. I was in an office yesterday, and I asked someone to make me a copy. And it wasn't an 8.5x11 piece of paper. It was shorter than that. So they put the piece of paper that I need copied on a copy machine, and then it wouldn't copy because the language on the copier said irregular size of piece of paper or something like that. So, and then they were fooling with it for 5 minutes in trying to figure out how to reprogram their copier to copy this little one sheet of paper. And I said, for goodness sakes, just take a regular piece of 8.5 piece of paper and put it over top of the thing you're trying to copy. And then the copy machine will think it's copying that. And you can make a copy in 10 seconds. Oh, great idea. Why didn't I think of that? There are a lot of things in life that are a lot simpler, that you can make them extremely complicated. And I'm not really talking about anybody who's called me today. I just thought of this example yesterday because everybody had a big laugh about why didn't I think of that. Maybe you're faced with something there's a way to approach it you haven't thought about that's fairly simple and direct and can get you a good result. So if you had a problem you need somebody else to talk about, to look at things slightly through maybe different eyes and experience, call 877-943-9673. Let's go to Tom in Bradenton.
So we just have to quietly wait until until Joe picks the line up for us.
Joe has picked the line up and is talking to you.
Oh, Joe, geez. Hey, geez. Joe, you're going to have to get the engineer at WTBN and straighten this guy out. Maybe you're going to have to, I don't know what you're going to have to do. Maybe you can sue him.
No, he's a great guy.
Okay.
He does a great job, too, so I'm going to defend him. Sometimes I like to tease him a lot, but he's a great guy. So
all right, guy answering the phone, I felt bad for the guy. He was like, I don't know what to do. Just please don't. You know, I was like, okay, no problem. I understand. Well, anyway, listen, Joe. First of all, the lady that called before, lady, come on. The kid didn't work for a couple of weeks. Big deal. You want to get involved with lawyers and court? What are you? Why don't you go out in the street and start directing traffic? I mean, Joe. It, to me, it's like, who wants to get involved with the insanity of a courtroom for penny ante stuff? So Joe, here's why I called. I got a house, right? I rent a house. It's 1,800 square feet. I rented it out. Apparently, this lady's a crazy lady. My life, right? I got to have a crazy person living in my house. So here's the deal. I gave her a 2-year lease. She said she was just going to have her daughter in there living with her. And, you know, no animals, you know, her and the daughter. Well, now that it wound up being her, the daughter, and her son, and no animals. She's got a cat.
So there's a clause in the lease that says no animals.
Yeah, and I got pictures of the cat in the place.
Is there a clause in the lease that limits the amount of people that can be in the house.
Yeah, that too. But I got the third thing. The third thing is the worst. She's a hoarder. I went in there last week to check the place out. I can't even walk around in the cellar because she's got several hundred cases of boxes full of, I don't even know what in the gosh God name it is, but she's got, I can't even walk in there. She's a kook. So I talked to the real estate guy who, you know, does rentals or whatever, and he, oh, well, you know, you really can't do anything, and she's got a 2-year. I'm like, what do you mean I can't do anything? The woman signed this lease, you know, that she can't have an animal in there, and that, you know, it's only supposed to be her and her daughter. Well, you know, if you take it to, you know, you're not going to really get anywhere.
No, if it's in the lease, you can evict her. If she has an animal in there and it's a violation of the lease, she can be evicted.
So why do you think the realtor guy is trying to, like, you know, play this in a different way?
If you hired him, he should be representing you, and he shouldn't be getting legal advice, number one.
It's a company that, you know, for the whole area of Bradenton, they find, you know, renters for you. And, you know, he deals with a lot of people throughout this entire area.
Do you have a contract with him?
He's the one that drew up the lease. He's a very laid-back guy. I mean, he's got a big office. He's got like 14 people working for him. So, you know,
No, it would be up to you. You can evict. You know, you don't need to go through him to do the eviction. He's just giving you bad advice, I think.
How much does it usually cost for an eviction?
Well, they are attorneys that kind of specialize in evictions, and that's all they do is real estate and evictions. So you probably need to find one of those that's our primary practice area. But, you know, I would just guess between, you know, $500 to $1,000.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's worth it. It's worth it. I mean, I just don't, you know, when you have something like this happen, especially that cat, who, you know, the cat gets behind the boxes and, you know, God forbid, and then, you know, you know, uses the boxes for the bathroom, and the next thing you know, you got to tear out carpets and all this other stuff. And yet it seems to me that, you know, the way that this, and that's why I'm calling you, the way this gentleman was talking to me, the apartment renter guy, he was making it sound like the judges, they'll bend over backwards to allow these people to stay in your property because they don't want to, you know, put them out on the street.
They might in some cases, but if they're in violation of the lease with no animals, I don't think you get, you know, you might have an animal lover judge that might, but, you know, but it's a lease. It's a written contract.
Yeah.
And the judge will follow that contract and protect your rights as well, or should. And, yeah, sometimes the courts are a little bit slow to evict people, but you stand up to what your rights are and you go for it, and I think you'd probably ultimately prevail.
Okay, Joe. Hey, listen, it's always a pleasure. I call you maybe like once in a while. I've only called you two other times in the past. I've always enjoyed the conversation. You're a very interesting guy. I like this very much. But I got to tell you, Joe, someday you got to have yourself out in the afternoon. So we afternoon people. I have to get up in the morning and, you know, call you. I've got to go back to bed now.
Hey, on Sunday afternoon on 570 and 910, they replay my show on
5
Sunday
p.m. at
5 p.m. So there you go.
I know. I want to have something live, Joe. We got to do a live broadcast.
You can call during a live show. I mean, do the repeat show on Sunday and just talk to the producer if you need somebody to talk to.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
A lot, Mike.
All right.
Bye bye. Uh-huh.
Let's go to Joe and Pinellas. Is Joe and Pinellas there? Okay, people are dropping off today for some reason. But Joe and Pinellas, if you want to call back, please do. Everyone listening has a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Let's go to Brian in Bradenton. Hey, Brian.
Yes, hi, Joe.
Okay,
I just called a few minutes ago. I had a follow-up question.
Okay.
It was about my fiance's mother passing away and the two, you know,
yes,
three siblings.
Yes.
Anyways, she just wanted to make sure that, you know, the will hasn't been dispersed. It was about 6 months ago she passed away, and there was no money, but she has property. Like, she has three properties, and two of them she's renting, and one of them, one of the siblings, is living in. So nothing's been dispersed yet. So she just wanted to make sure, because it hasn't been dispersed, and it says in the will that if somebody passes, it goes to the other two siblings.
Yeah, but so that's there. No. Well, here's the deal. The will kind of freezes upon her death. And the person named in the will, their share will vest and become theirs, even though it hasn't been distributed at the time of death. You know, you could have a will, you could have a person die, and they could have a will that leaves everything to the surviving of three equal children. The surviving, though, means at the time, the surviving her at the moment of death. We've had probates that last, you know, several years. So if somebody dies, at, you know, the probate's going to last for 3 years. If somebody dies at 2 years and 340 days, I mean, their share vested 2 years and 40 days ago. So it doesn't matter that it hasn't been distributed. Her one-third share is vested in her, even though it hasn't been distributed to her.
Okay, so she's safe if she passes.
She's safe.
Yep. Kids are getting the money. All right, thanks again, Joe.
Okay, thanks. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. And if you, this is a big year for me in handling wills and trusts and when people pass away. I had a client, as you know, if you listen to the show, I got to go in April to St. Jude's Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee, and make a presentation of a check from one of my estates to $1 million to St. Jude's Hospital. The Tampa Bay Magazine, if you get that magazine, had a picture of me doing that presentation. And also there's going to be another $1 million check presentation at a legacy conference in San Diego in October that I get to do that. And I had a client die this past week who, just a great guy, you know, over in the Sun City Center area, that's going to have $1 million. I'm pretty sure it's going to be close to $1 million presentation to Duke College in North Carolina. So far this year, I've been going to be involved in three different estates that each gave $1 million to a charity. St. Jude's Hospital, a medical college, and now Duke University. And I just want to mention that because if you are doing your estate plan is a wonderful opportunity to do good things for charities. So if you support a charity during your lifetime, maybe you should think about also supporting the charity through a distribution or your legacy for that upon death. It's very easy to implement charitable giving into a estate plan. All right, let's go to Colleen. Hey, Colleen.
Yes.
Okay, where are you calling from? Yeah, where are you calling from?
Palm Harbor.
Palm Harbor. So what can I do for you?
This is about my mother passing away, and I'm not sure if I'm a beneficiary in the trust. My brother is the executor, and the house that she had, it's just sitting there. It's not being sold, and no one's living in it. And the biggest beef of all was the siblings wanted to live in the house.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to be there. Now nobody's in that house, and I want it sold. So to prevent other issues and more expenses. So
did your mother have a will? Do you know?
Yes, she had a trust.
She had a trust. Okay. And do you have a copy of the trust? You have a copy of the trust?
I don't. I don't have a copy of it.
Well, listen, you can have an attorney. If you've done everything you can do and you don't have a good result, you can have an attorney write a letter to the personal representative / trustee of the estate and demanding a copy. First of all, a will has to be filed within 10 days if a person dies in Florida and someone else has possession of the will. So you can put pressure on the personal representative to file the will. And then you need to cut your radio off in the background. And then you can have, if you still don't have a good result after the will is filed, you can have an attorney write a demand letter for a copy of the will and trust. And you would be entitled to receive that if you are a named beneficiary in the document.
So you have to get an attorney to help you.
Well, if you don't have a good result in trying to do anything yourself or get a copy or get the will filed, if you've done everything you can without a good result, then hire an attorney to help you.
Okay, and if you're not named as a beneficiary in there,
then you're not really entitled to a copy. Although you could get a copy of the will once it becomes a public record.
Okay, so if I'm not named as a, I used to be the executor. Then she changed it to my brother.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm not named as a beneficiary, do I have any other recourse as a living one of the living children at the time of her death to have access to some of that after the sale of the house?
Well, let me say this. The wills, if you were omitted in the distribution of the trust, let's say,
yes.
The most common reasons to contest either a will or a trust are incompetence when the change or document was made, or undue influence. Okay. So one of your siblings took mother to the attorney's office and was sitting there when she made the change that omitted you, which benefited them. So
that's a possibility.
That would be undue influence. So the most common challenges to wills and trusts are undue influence or incompetence. So if you can prove either one of those, you have a chance of overturning the change that was made.
So if the attorney that did all the changes, which was the same one that I took her to originally, when she went back to sign everything, and he possibly could have come to the house to
mm-hmm.
take care of that for her, if he says, oh, no, she was fine. She was not incompetent. She knew what she was doing.
Well, the attorney can make the call on competence. So the most common challenge to wills and trust are undue influence, actually. That somebody was with her that benefited from the change.
Yeah, and that's the person that was fighting to not sell the house.
Yeah.
And I said to my mother before she died, no, we're going to sell this house.
All right,
you know,
so listen, you're not going to get very far fighting with him yourself, so I would suggest you have an attorney fight for you.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, so I'm going to take one more call here in a second, I think. But before I do that, let me just say, if you would like our free estate planning poster sheet, it's a full-size poster sheet all about estate planning and your choices and options. I think you'd find it very helpful if you're trying to make a decision on whether to have your documents reviewed or do new documents. But even if you have existing documents, they should be reviewed every 3 or 4 years. On the other side of the big poster sheet are all of our office locations. We have 20 office locations around Florida. A list of the attorney, the websites, the radio shows. If you would like that, there are one or three ways you can request this. You can call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529, 1-800-226-3529, extension 200. You can email me at joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. You can text me at 727-667-3967. The text number is 727-667-3967. Let's go to Jim. Jim, we have less than a minute or about a minute to go, so we're going to have to make this quick probably.
Okay, Attorney Pippin, thanks. My father-in-law passed away in Pennsylvania on June 28th this year. My mother-in-law inherited everything. He has a will and stuff. Do we have to go, if she wants a trust, do we have to go into Pennsylvania? What do we have to do?
Well, no. Is she here in Florida or is she there?
No, she lives in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it would be best if she had a Pennsylvania attorney. I mean, I do documents for people who live out of state all the time, but they're in my presence. If she would, for example, if she would never be in my presence, she should just do a document where she lives.
Do you have anybody in Pennsylvania you could refer us to?
If you want to call me, I could tell you how to find an estate planning attorney in Pennsylvania.
Okay, and when would I call you?
Just next week would be fine.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, my wife and I are going to set up our trust through you.
Oh, great.
We're here in Jacksonville.
All right, well,
yeah.
Great. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Joe.
All right, thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
All right.
Bye.
All right, thanks for listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. You have a great weekend. Have a safe weekend. We'll be back next week at the same time. So long.